弟兄姊妹，大家平安。
Friends, peace be with you.
感谢主，我们一起来祷告好吗
？Praise the Lord. Let's pray together.
天上的阿爸父神，我们谢谢你，让我们现在可以进入更深的敬拜。主，我们盼望在这个时候，不但从主你的话语，从圣经里面，求你再一次借着圣经给我们信息，让我们能够传讲主你的话语，也帮助我们弟兄姊妹在主你的爱里面再一次被建立。愿主你怜悯我们，知道我们的软弱，知道我们需要你，求主帮助，让我们谦卑的在你面前说，主啊，我们需要你，求你洁净我们，洗涤我们，用耶稣基督的宝血再一次厚厚的遮盖涂抹洁净，让我们今天在你面前重新得力，求主恩待，求主赐福，奉耶稣基督的圣名，Amen.
And so gracious Lord, we thank you, Lord, for gathering us together, Lord, in this beautiful worship space, Lord. And as we worship together from our English and Chinese congregation, Lord, we're so grateful for all the things that you have done. So Lord, in this moment, we ask, Lord, you illuminate the scripture passages that we will be reading and preaching from, Lord. May it really come from your heart into their heart, Lord. And I pray, Lord, as we hear your word, Lord, may we be convicted, Lord. May we be cleansed. May we be recognized, Lord, that we are forgiven, Lord, as we confess, Lord. So Lord, in the end, Lord, as we head out to these doors and back home, Lord, may we reorient ourselves back to you, Lord, and Lord, refresh our faith in you, knowing that you are always with us. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 我们今天我们两位牧师都要讲道，我们要请英语堂先讲，然后他讲完以后呢，我在下面听完以后再给我们大家做中文的翻译，然后等一下呢，我讲中文，那江牧师，在背后在帮我做总结的那个中文的信息哈，我们还是用以前的老样子，觉得非常有效，而且时间可以节省得很好。我们今天呢，盼望能够一起来讲关于家庭跟子女，还有我们常常忘记一件事情，我们天上有一个阿爸父神，我们都是他的孩子，我们怎么样来活得好，求主帮助。我们第一段圣经要来读的就是。
And so this morning we're going to do what we traditionally do when we join together. We're going to have two messages, one in English, one in Chinese. So our English message will be first, and Pastor Chang will translate that in Chinese, and then afterwards I will translate Pastor Chang's message in English. And as we gather here for this retreat, we are focusing on the family, and so we are going to have a message on to remind you of our family.Understanding that we are children of God, and more importantly, one of the messages that we tend to forget is that we have a Father, a loving Father in heaven. So okay. Our first passage this morning is going to be from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7-9.
我们今天要读的圣经是彼得前书第三章，从第七节到第九节 7-9, right? Yeah, okay.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7-9.
彼得前书第三章从第七节到第九节。
Friends, I'll read it in English first. If you have it in front of you, please read with me.
如果你有中英文的圣经，请你们就预备好，先从英语我们一起来诵读。
So 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7-9. Word of the Lord says this, Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way.Showing honor to the women as weaker vessels, since they are heirs with you of grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Finally, all of you have unity in mind, sympathy, brotherly love, and tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. 我们一起来读非常美的一段圣经，这是彼得，使徒彼得对夫妻的教导。彼得前书第三章第七节，如果你有圣经的话，我们就一起来诵读第七节开始来。你们做丈夫的，也要按情理和妻子同住，因他比你软弱，与你一同承受生命之恩的，所以要敬重他。这样便叫你们的祷告没有阻碍。总而言之，你们都要同心，彼此体恤，相爱如弟兄，存怜悯谦卑的心， 不要以恶报恶，以辱骂还辱骂，倒要祝福，因你们是为此蒙召，好叫你们承受福气。
Friends, let's pray. 我们祷告。Lord, as we gather here, Lord, as we heard many, many principles and many teachings over family, Lord, I pray, Lord, more importantly is that we understand one thing, Lord. In our family dynamics, in our relational dynamics around you, Lord, may we embody your presence, Lord, so that everyone will know who the Lord is through our actions, through our words, through our embodiment of you, Lord. So God, as this word is being spoken, may we focus and may we ask ourselves this main question, have we represent you well? And Lord, may we do so, Lord, as we move back home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So as my kids got older, they start to speak. And when your kids start to talk, they give you some interesting insight. And so I remember recently walking my daughter to school one morning, and she said, Daddy, I want to be just like you. And I was like, what does that mean? Just like me? And she's like, no, I don't want to just be like you. I want to be a lot like you. And so this was recently because Lydia told my wife that she wants to be just like Daddy. She wants to be a pastor, right? And so I was like, you want to be just like Daddy? You want to be like a pastor like Daddy? And she's like, yes. So you know Daddy makes very little money? And she says, yes. I was like, okay, what else do you want to be like Daddy? Like, she's like, everything. And so I was blessing her as we walking to school. But in my mind, I was telling myself, OMG. Oh my God. Not because of what her profession is. I bless her for anything she wants to do. I'm going to empower her to the depth of everything she wants to do. But more importantly is the thing what she said, I want to be a lot like you. And it really questions myself is, what kind of father am I right now? And what kind of father do I want to be to my daughters, to my two sons, and hopefully with permission from my wife, our future kids. We really want another daughter. But it reminds me, the fact is that I gotta do better. If she's gonna be a lot like me, then every aspect of sin, every aspect of brokenness in me, I must take action and handle it and deal with it, or else it's gonna pass on to her because she wants to be a lot like me. And as I was researching and focusing and looking through my library, you realize something about family dynamics. I don't know if you guys noticed, but a lot of Christian books about family, it's all common sense, and they just put Jesus on top, or end the sentence with Jesus, right? Be a good family, like Jesus, right? Or something like that. But as I kept digging into scripture, you realize that if we're going to start talking about family, it has to start with that one thing, and one thing that's important is that covenant relationship that we have with God. It's that simple message that Jesus taught us by saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, soul, and strength, and love those that he has put around you like yourself. And this is what creates a great family. If we practice this covenant well in our communities, right? Because the problem is, many of us, we don't do this covenant well. We can love God with all our hearts, but our loving of others tatters. Or we can really love people because we're relational, but yet we forget about God. We talk too much about ourselves. And so there is a disconnect, and there needs to be a balance in these two if we're going to represent him well. And if we are going to be a good family, our job and our duty really is to represent him well. And so in this passage that we read is in the letter of Peter. And I wanted to note that we cannot read this letter just by reading, cherry picking these scriptures. I know we love to. I didn't read the beginning of 1 Peter because all the husbands like that one, right? Right? But more importantly, we have to go back to chapter 1 because all the things that Peter was teaching was really asking this, be holy like he is holy. And these are principles that he was trying to share with this people, how to be in a pursuit of holiness. And so in the passage today, I know we're talking about relationship between husband and wife, but the principles he gave, three simple, straightforward principles here that are relational principles, and they are used universally in relationships. And so we can use, when we're talking about relationships, we're talking not just husband and wife or wife and husband or parent to children or sibling to sibling, it's to all. And if we turn our family around this one, these three simple key points, maybe our family would change. Maybe we would be a godly example for the world and for one another. And so first thing he says, he shares with them is, live your life with your spouse in an understanding way. you know, and that basically so that your prayers will not be hindered, right? I think what we have to realize is we have to live with understanding with one another, right? The prayer of St. Francis says this, right? Seek not to be understood, seek to understand. I think one of the things is, if we're going to embody the presence of God well, we're going to represent him well, we have to realize that one great thing that we love about God is God, in all of our circumstances, he understands you very well. He knows your flaws. He knows what you are doing. He knows what you are hiding because he understands you well. And we are, as family units, we have to learn to enter each other's world. You know, do we enter each other's world? I think we live in a context in our families where we're very different worlds, right? One of the comments that we always talk about is my parents are too Chinese or Taiwanese, and their complaints is, my parents keep telling me I'm too Americanized. But have we entered each other's world? Have we crossed the divide to realize that we're family? We shouldn't be dividing or categorizing ourselves in that way. Have we really entered into each other's world and tried to learn to understand? Because you know what the problem is? Why our prayers get hindered? Because it doesn't matter what our prayers are for our parents or what's our prayers for our kids. Is the fact is that if our prayers that we're praying, the actions that we're showing is not congruent, it's going to hinder these prayers that we've been praying to God. And it's very easily we can miss our prayers and our actions simply just by not understanding one another. And so the second simple principle is this, right? In order to understand, we have to listen. We have to be good listeners. You know, with understanding comes listening. And it's not firmly, you know, listed in Peter's scripture passage suggestion, but it is implied. You really cannot understand without listening. And have you guys ever noticed one thing? You know, there's not a high demand of people asking for your opinion. No one really comes up to you and be like, hey, Times, I want your opinion on this matter, right? They really come to you because they want to share what's in their heart and they want to be heard. One of the greatest complaints I always have when I'm talking with kids about their family dynamics is this, that my parents don't listen to me. You know, they're sharing a hard situation. They're becoming vulnerable. And, you know, we're supposed to represent God to one another as a family unit. And so they feel that the family is a safe place. So they're running to their parents, trying to share a deep pain, a deep area in their heart. But as parents, because we want what's best for our kids, we tend to be fixers. I'm guilty of that sometimes too. Not really, Lily is. Actually, no, we both are guilty. We call each other out. We work in that matter. But as fixers, we try to go straight into fixing, right? Well, you should be doing this. You should be doing that. Or we bring opinions out. Or we ridicule how they shouldn't have been put in that position in the first place. When all they came here to do was, they were trying to be in a safe place where they can share their heart and be heard, be understood. And so if we were supposed to really embody the presence of God and we're supposed to represent God well to our families, how would it feel like if we, in that moment, do you know how hard it is for us to confess to God our sins? We want to hide it. We want to keep it within us. But we finally have the courage to run to the Father, run to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we get on our knees and we confess all our hearts of our sins. And in return, God brings up the conversation. Instead of forgiveness of what we preach about on the pulpit all the times, what if God answers, why are you so stupid? Why did you put yourself in this matter? Does that sound like God? You see, our kids will understand God through our actions. And sometimes I think the reason why the title of father is so unhappy in this next generation culture where the Reformed Church is calling it creator instead, right? It's because there is this connection between how they approach the parents and that connection approaching God. Then why are we doing so? If we don't want to be rejected by God, then why are we rejecting our kids when they just want to be heard and validated that their pain is real? It's not they're going crazy. Or else it is really hindering our prayers for them. Because these are probably things that we are praying for our kids, right? We want our kids to, we want a better relationship with our kids. We want our kids to be healthy. And they're coming to us to really try to be healthy, try to connect with you, and we reject them. And lastly, one of the last points is, Peter says this, finally, all of you, note this, all of you, it's not just like husband, right? All of you, all of us, have unity in mind, sympathy, brotherly love, tender heart, and a humble heart. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for you were called that you will obtain a blessing, right? Peter's here saying, don't attack. Don't attack one another. When your family attacks back, when your kids attack you, don't attack back. You know, we tend to get defensive so quickly. Oh, that's not what I'm saying, right? You know, we get so defensive so quickly. We have to be Christ-like, choose to understand and listen. Encourage and love one another is how we bless. We have to be a household that blesses, because the world out there will not bless them the way that Christ wants them to be blessed. And I remember when I was talking about the family dynamic, my mentor shared with me this analogy that caught on in my heart. My mentor, he used to be a professor in a seminary up in the Great White North, Canada. We have some Canadians here. Canadians in the house. Woo, right? He was a professor at a seminary in Saskatchewan. If you guys don't know that, because we live in New York and in the warm weather, Saskatchewan weather in the winter is brutal. If you stay out there for too long, you will freeze to death. And so in his early days of going, as he was driving around, he looked on the side of the roads, he see these greenhouses, these domes, these clear domes. And apparently they were, you know, they were florists and botanist places. And he was so curious because it was winter outside. You open the door and you might not be able to close the door. But he went inside and he experienced great warmth. So it will be negative, I don't know, 30, 23 degrees outside, but inside will be a nice 60 degrees Fahrenheit. Yeah, I'm talking Fahrenheit because we're American. Sorry, Canadians, right? I don't know the Celsius conversion. And it caught on to him quickly. Outside the world, as the cultural theologian Olivia Rodrigo will say, God, it's brutal out there. It is really brutal out there. But within our homes, it should be warm, full of love, because out there is so brutal. And what, as a family, we need to do is represent him well so that in our home unit, it's warm. So in a family, we represent God to each other. So let's think about what God's attributes really help us. So I'm going to give you guys a non-exhaustive list to start off thinking about it. Think about the things that God does that we love, right? We love that God cares. We love that God listens, right? We love that God loves. We love that God forgives no matter how messed up we are. We love how God empowers us. We love that God is always there. So then family, we love it when family cares. We want a family that listens to us. We want a family that loves us. We want a family that's willing to forgive even though we're messy. We want a family that empowers us to do the things that we're destined for. And we love a family that's always there. That's what the people closest from you would love from you. Friends, families, communities, may we represent him well. Amen.
刚才江牧师借着刚才我们所读的圣经非常美的一段圣经。刚才江牧师说他很高兴他组成一个家。他说他有一次带着他的大女儿要到学校去，然后他大女儿非常高兴，然后牵着爸爸的手，爸爸的手牵着他，他很高兴，他就跟爸爸说：“爸爸，我将来要像你，因为你每一样我都要学你，我都要像你。”然后他说：“爸爸，当牧师没有很多钱，你要吗？”他说：“没问题，我要像你。”他心里面想说，这个孩子大概不知道将来怎么样了，但是他听到孩子说他要学爸爸，不是像一样，是全部要像爸爸。他觉得说，哇，我这个做爸爸的 太伟大而且太重要了，因为我女儿要学我所有的。而且更有趣的是，他说他的大女儿下面还有两个弟弟，而这两个弟弟呢，他们在期待如果神容许再来一个。所以呢，他说我会成为目前三个，将来可能四个或者更多的孩子的爸爸，那我的角色是什么？我的女儿跟我讲说我要像爸爸。哇，他说我的责任是何等的大。所以他说这是一个非常大的挑战。神给我们有一个家庭，让我们的家庭能够按照我们刚才所读的圣经，他说在这里有三个非常重要的教导在我们这里。第一个，在夫妇之间呢，请我们记得就是要怎么样呢？试着去了解对方，不是要求人家了解你。 Try to be understood try to understand others instead of being understood， 就是尝试要去了解。不是我们常常在吵架的时候就说你就是不了解我，我们常常用这句话在阐述我们心你心里面的矛盾跟我们的愤怒。他说当我们这样子的时候，我们其实就没有办法继续沟通下去。夫妻之间没有办法彼此了解，就是总是认为对方有问题，他不了解我。我们怎么不试图去了解他呢？当我们这样做的时候，我们家庭会产生不一样的结果出来。特别是当我们愿意彼此去了解的时候，那种爱就产生出来。就像刚才圣经所说的，说什么呢？说你们做丈夫的要按情理的与妻子同住，而且说什么呢？他比你软弱，你与他，他与你一同承受生命的恩，所以要敬重他，这样便叫你们的祷告没有阻碍。当我们能够彼此了解的时候，一个很重要的根基就是从祷告开始，进入彼此祷告，然后我们就可以更多的了解，因为我们结连在耶稣基督的里面。这是第一点。第二点在这里告诉我们说，第八节说，总而言之，你们都要同心，彼此体恤，相爱如弟兄，存谦卑怜悯谦卑的心。这里说什么呢？我们跟孩子最大的问题就是沟通。我们做父母的，因为纵使孩子，我们有一个观念，就是纵使孩子已经40岁了，我还是他的爸爸，我还是他的妈妈，他一定要听我的。这是我们华人一个很糟糕的观念，我们很少安静下来听我们的孩子讲他要的是什么，他心里面想的是什么。所以我们做父母的很少去倾听，我们总是教训，看到孩子一个动作，你为什么这个样子，告诉你不要这样做，为什么要这样做。我们教训的口气大于倾听的口气。所以呢，因为这个样子，我们就彼此有产生更大的隔阂跟更大的没有办法的沟通下去。所以这是在北美洲一个很危险的地方，就是孩子跟我们基本上是沟而不通，这是很可惜的事情。好不好，我们开始想一件事情，我们可以问孩子说，你想这件事情应该怎么做，好不好？去问说，那你的意见怎么样，你的看法怎么样。特别我们跟孩子交通的时候，你让他讲一点，多说一些他的看法， 然后试图去了解他的时候，你跟孩子的沟通就能够越来越好。第三件事情他建议的就是我们要彼此建立一个爱跟和谐的家庭，因为那个爱是家庭最重要的最重要的一个因素。而且这里很重要的一点就是什么呢，就是这个世界是非常残酷而且冷漠的。他说他有一个教授以前住在加拿大很北的地方，那个地方那个名字我也没有听过，他说那个地方呢冷到没有办法，外面就是终年结冰。有一天这个教授在外面走以后，哇，冷得不得了，然后零下是30几度。然后呢走到房间里面，那里面是摄氏有60度，就很温暖。然后他突然间觉得说，在同一个世界里面有两种不同的温度。第一个温度是在外面是残酷冷漠，但是在这里有一个家，这个家是什么呢，是有爱有温暖，可以活得很好。他向我们挑战说，你愿意让你的家是这样吗？你愿意让你的家室内跟室外同一个温度吗？让主耶稣进入我们的生命里面，让我们的家成为一个在残酷而且严寒的冬天里面，这个很糟糕的世界里面，有一个温暖可以生活而且有爱，大家彼此扶持那个温暖的家。求主帮助我们。所以他说让我们在这里能够看照圣经的真理，让我们尊耶稣为大，让耶稣在我们的家庭里面的时候，我们的生命就必定不一样。我们谢谢江牧师给我们很好的信息。
Gracious Lord, you put us together in these families and even in this church, Lord. And Lord, so we ask that we help us, O Lord, represent you well, so that, Lord, all those around us in the households, either our parents, our children, even our siblings, Lord, will see you, Lord, through us, Lord. So, Father, may that strengthen our family, our church community, Lord. And, Lord, may we go out into this brutal world and represent you well also. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. 主，我们求你就帮助，让我们面对这个残酷的世界，好像严寒的冬天，让我们真的是没有办法在那种痛苦、在严寒当中可以过活的时间，让我们有一个温暖的家，让我们因着耶稣基督在我们家里面居首位、掌皇权，让我们能够建立一个温暖、温馨、蒙神祝福的家。让我们的孩子在里面成长得好。主啊，求你就带领也赐福保守我们每一位，奉耶稣基督的圣名，阿们。好，请我们现在来读第二处的圣经。我来讲讲
We'll read our second verse.
我们来读罗马书。
We'll be reading from Romans.
罗马书第八章。
Romans chapter 8.
罗马书第八章，我们从第十二节念到第十七节。
So we read from Romans 8, chapter 12 to Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to 17.
如果你有圣经的话，中文的圣经，请你们跟我一起来诵读，然后英语的就跟江牧师一起来诵读。
We'll read it in Chinese first, and then we'll read it in English. If you have the word in front of you, please read with us.
罗马书第八章第十二节。好，我们一起来念来。弟兄们，这样看来，我们并不是欠肉体的债去顺从肉体活着。你们若顺从肉体活着，必要死；若靠着圣灵致使身体的恶行，必要活着。因为凡被神的灵引导的，都是神的儿子。你们所受的不是奴仆的心，仍旧害怕；所受的乃是儿子的心，因此我们呼叫阿爸父。圣灵与我们的心同证，我们是神的儿女。 既是儿女，便是后嗣，就是神的后嗣，和基督同作后嗣。如果我们和他一同受苦，也必和他一同得荣耀。
Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Word of the Lord says this: So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For you, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and the fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
感谢主。弟兄姊妹，我在这里要跟我们分享一个主题。我今天讲到的主题就是圣灵让我们成为阿爸父神的儿女。圣灵让我们或者帮助我们成为神的儿女。我们最近一系列我一直在讲圣灵。那今天我是讲第五堂讲圣灵的工作。上个礼拜我记得我跟大家讲圣灵的工作是帮助我们知道罪，而且耶稣告诉我们说圣灵来了要叫你知罪，而且呢要叫你为罪为义为审判自己责备自己。这是在约翰福音第14章的话。圣灵叫我们知罪，我们可以改变。那现在告诉我们说，圣灵还有一个很重要的工作，就是他要感动你。因着你信耶稣以后，耶稣要洁净你，然后借着耶稣基督，圣灵把你带到阿爸父神的面前，你可以称那个天上最伟大的神说阿爸，你可以叫他阿爸。那是最大最大的祝福。我在这里想要问我们年轻人哈，还有弟兄姊妹，是不是全世界的人都是上帝的儿女 ？OK， 再一下，我再问一下 ，Do you think that all human beings are children of God？ If you say yes, please raise your hand。你如果说全世界的人不管阿猫阿狗都是神的儿子，都是神的儿女，请举手。应该是的，很多人说应该是，应该是哈。But unfortunately, I want to say no. 这不是我说的。请我们记得哈，全世界的人，不管你信什么教，信什么都说，反正你就是所有人，你是要是人，你就是上帝的儿女。很多人有这个观念。I just want to tell you that too many people thought that.Everybody, if you are a human being, and you are children of, you are son of God, or daughter of God, sorry, no. 我在这要告诉我们诸位，你如果这个观念，对不起，是错的。这个不是我说的。因为当我们人跟神断掉关系以后，那种父子的关系或者父女的关系已经断了，所以唯一除了一种有办法，请你们跟我来读一段圣经，免得说牧师你讲的胡说。请你们跟我来读约翰福音第一章。 I would like to ask you to join me see John chapter 1 verse 11 to 13。我们来读约翰福音第一章第十一节，第十一节到第十三节。我来念中文，然后叫牧师带我们念英语哈。请你们注意这段圣经讲得非常清楚哈。我们一起来念中文好吗？来，第十一节说： 他到自己的地方来，自己的人倒不接待他。凡接待他的，就是信他名的人，他就赐他们权柄做神的儿女。这等人不是从血气生的，不是从情欲生的，也不是从人意生的，乃是从神生的。
Reading from the book of John, chapter 1, verse 11 to 13, it says this: He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all whom did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
我不知道你有没有看清楚了哈，不是全世界的人都是上帝的儿女，因为人自己把那个神给我们的权柄放弃了，所以全世界的人。好，那可能有人会问一句话说，那如果上帝不认我做他的儿女，那他跟我就没有关系了，是不是？他还管我什么？错了。请你们记得哈，请你们记得，当我们人还否认上帝的时候，神跟我们的关系是什么呢？只有一层关系，是创造者跟被造者的关系。If you do not become children of God, your relationship with God is what? Creator and creature. 那你知道哈，如果神是创造者，你是被造者，就好像，举一个例子，这是我的书，对不对？这本书是我的。那我说，这张纸是我的 ，This is mine。那这张纸呢？我可以写字，我可以画画，然后我不喜欢的时候把它撕掉，丢了。请问你们谁可以讲什么话？神知道，当我们人跟他的关系是创造者跟被造者的关系的时候。神说我不要你，我就把你丢了，把你丢到下，把你下到地狱里面去了。你不能够拒绝，因为他是创造者，但是他不要你成为这个样子，所以他到你面前说，我来了，我要救你，我要拯救你，借着我自己的儿子耶稣基督来到这个世界，为你流血，为你上了十字架，承担了你的罪，回来吧。所以刚才圣经说，只要你信，你说我愿意，那种关系随即改变，你可以成为什么？成为神的孩子，这么简单。但是可惜这个世界太多人因为罪的捆绑，他说我为什么要这样子？下地狱就下地狱吧，那是愚蠢到极。为什么？因为我们被魔鬼就辖制欺骗，而且有一天魔鬼告诉我们说，跟我下地狱吧，那边还不错呢。但是我告诉我们诸位，当你一去，你就永远后悔，没有回头的日子。所以当你还活着的时候，求主帮助我们，不要忘记还有回头的机会，真的求主帮助我们，那是非常非常宝贵的时间。所以求主帮助我们，第一件事情我在这里要告诉我们诸位的，就是当我们还活着的时候，神还给我们恩典，神还帮助我们，盼望我们能够蒙恩得救，成为神的儿女，让我们恢复我们跟阿爸父神的关系，这是非常重要的事情。所以我求主帮助我们，让我们不要硬着心，不然的话我们会后悔，而且不是后悔一辈子，而是后悔永远。我曾经在讲道的时候讲过，我们年轻人大概没有听过，在几个月以前，我跟江牧师跟 莫牧师还有跟范牧师，我们四个人去主持一个葬礼，是我们以前的一位弟兄曾经在我们教会聚会过，自杀。那是我们四个牧师哈，觉得最痛苦的时候。我记得 Tiffany 牧师，我请他上台去讲话，他讲话下来以后，他跟我讲说：“哎呦，牧师，我觉得好不舒服。”他说：“牧师，你觉得怎么样？”我说：“我在当时可以感到三种不同的心情，那个不是我，也不是所有活着的人，我可以感受那个自杀的灵魂就在我们旁边。那一种感受是什么呢？第一个愤怒，第二个后悔，第三个不知道要往哪里去。可以感受到那种无助的方式。我想当时他大概想说，如果这个身体还在那边，他可以进去，能够活起来多好。所以求主帮助我们，这是一件非常严肃的事情。再来，我要对我们基督徒讲一件很重要的事情。但是当我们成为神的儿女的时候，我们也不要窃窃的私语说啊，我已经得救了，我已经成为耶稣基督所救赎的人了，然后呢就把那个关系就撂在那边。你把它撂在那边，其实你在伤害神跟你最美的关系。所以我们为什么需要有这个 retreat， 这个灵修会，再一次帮助我们，提醒我们，因为我们的生命很容易怎么样疲乏，就像我们如果一天工作下来你需要休息一样，让我们常常回到神的家里面，再一次被提醒，再一次被提醒。所以呢，我们回到神的家的时候，常常会有一种需要做的事情。今天刚才江牧师也提到了，我们常常需要回想我跟神的关系怎么样，而且当我们跟神在回想的关系的时候，我们必须常常想到，诶，我活在这个世界，这个世界 很不好，我常常被思想被影响，有时候我的思想乱七八糟，有时候我讲的话乱七八糟，有时候我做的事情乱七八糟。你知道当你跟神建立那种关系的时候，有一个力量一直在引导你，我们把那个力量称作圣灵在你的心中的工作。而你怎么回应，如果你真的是生气了，做错事情了，请我们记得神常常预备一个非常好的路告诉我们，叫什么呢？悔改。请我们不要以为我做基督徒或者我做牧师，我是基督徒，我已经是好的，而且我是牧师，我不用悔改，因为我永远是对的。那这个样子那个人完了。请我们记得，我们没有一个人完美，我们活在这个世界里面还很容易跌倒，还很容易走错，还很容易做错话，说错话或者做错事情。因此求主帮助我们，神一直在期待基督徒悔改，回转过来。当我们回转过来的时候，请我们记得哈，不要小看你在神的面前说：“主啊，我错了，主啊，我不对。”不要小看那个，神非常看重那个。就像大卫王，当他犯了一个滔天大罪，竟然看上他的将军的妻子，他的将军为他卖命在外面打仗，他竟然看见他的太太在洗澡，哇，怎么那么漂亮？ 他自己家里面那么多女人，他放着，就去把那个女人叫来跟他睡觉。他以为神不知鬼不觉，你知道，难道大卫不知道神知道吗？他总是没有看见，直到什么呢？直到一个先知跟他讲故事，讲完故事以后，大卫大声的愤怒说，那个有权的人怎么可以对待那个隔壁的人那么糟糕，人家只有一只羊而已，他自己家里面那么多羊，怎么抓人家的羊来宰掉然后请人家吃饭？然后说，这个是谁把我抓揪出来，这个人呢要死，不但这个样子要还人家四倍，告诉我是谁。你知道当时先知拿单说，那个人就是你。你知道大卫当时一听到这件事情的时候他怎么做？他没有说你算老几，我是王，你是先知，你还敢批评我，抓出去砍了。如果在中国这样，对不对？但是请你记得，当时大卫王一听到神借着先知所讲的话，那马上跪下来，他说，主啊，我犯罪了，请你赦免我。他马上写了诗篇51篇，成为他在神的面前的认罪，神赦免了他。但是神说，那个犯罪之后的后遗症你要去承担，但是神还器重他，本来是该死，如果大卫不悔改啊，他死定了。但是神跟他讲说，因为你犯罪，刀剑并不离开你的家，那是他的 consequence， 他的后果。但是我在这里要告诉我们诸位，圣经里面另外一个我觉得很有趣，我在读的圣经的时候，我最初觉得这段圣经写的总是觉得不舒服。我们没有时间去读，我讲给你们大家听啊。在那个列王记哈，列王记下，列王记上，列王记上倒数第二章21章讲了一个故事。当时北以色列国有一个非常恶劣，全以色列国的历史里面最糟糕最恶劣的国王跟王后。你们再看看那个国王是谁？亚哈王。那他的妻子王后叫什么名字？ King Ahab and Jezebel。 这一对夫妻呢是全圣经里面最邪恶的一对王跟夫妇跟妻子。有一天亚哈王看到隔壁他皇宫的旁边有一个非常漂亮的葡萄园，然后他去就说，哎，这个葡萄园是谁呀？结果人家跟他讲说，哦，那个葡萄园的主人叫拿伯。叫他来。然后就跟他讲说，哎，拿伯，我跟你讲哈，哇，你的葡萄园漂亮的不了，我在我的皇宫的旁边呢，我走过去就那边当公园，哇，多漂亮啊，我跟你换好不好？我可以给你更大的而且更有价值的另外一块地随你选，然后呢你把那块地给我，然后如果你不要地换地啊，你要多少钱我都给你。亚拿伯跟他讲说，对不起国王，按照我们的祖训，按照圣经摩西的规定，这个土地，这块土地是什么？是祖产，我的祖宗留给我的，是不准卖的。结果你知道什么事情发生？哇，亚哈王气死了。这个对，他做国王不能够违反圣经的教导。你知道他不吃不喝了，你看就像一个小孩子一样。他太太回来说，你怎么啦？他说，人家要土地，我要跟他换，他不要啊。你看，你知道那个他的太太啊，邪恶到一个什么？ 哎呀，你这个我这个做国王的，怎么做的那么窝囊？这个事情小事，让我来处理。这王后写信给当地拿伯的家乡，说那个城的长老们，你们随便捏造一个理由，说拿伯呢咒骂上帝，又咒骂国王，该杀。然后叫两三个土匪呢，说是指证，然后就把他抓出，用石头打死。就这件事情就成了，成了以后，这个太太，这个约洗别就告诉他说：“你看，那么简单的事情，我一下就搞定了。那一个土地是你的，你去吧。”哇，拿伯死了，他高兴得不得了，所以拿这个国王怎么样？约哈亚哈就进去看，哇，这个葡萄园好棒，这个、葡萄园好棒。正他在那边欣赏葡萄园的时候，他碰到一个他最讨厌的人。那个人的名字叫做以利亚，先知 Elijah。 结果先知去跟他讲说什么呢？你今天在这里看这块土地哈，你用不义的手段所取得的，耶和华神告诉我说，你跟你的家被咒诅，而且你家会死得很惨，而且你的太太杀死拿伯的那个地方，你的太太有一天会死在那里，而且狗怎么样去舔拿伯被你们打死他留下的血，狗那个是野狗哈，也会去舔你的太太还有你的血。你说这个故事很多人都知道哈，但是你知道当时那个亚哈王听到又吓坏了，他不敢对神的先知做什么事情。你说他做了一件很简单的事情，他在神的面前说：“上帝啊，请你赦免我。”而且呢，他为了表示他的忏悔，他连衣服都不敢脱，就穿着这样，还有走路就慢慢走，慢慢走，慢慢走。有几天了，有一个礼拜的时间了。你知道神告诉先知以利亚说：“你看那个拿伯，那个什么亚哈王谦卑起来了，你看他谦卑了，你看有没有？”然后神说了一句：“因着他的谦卑，因着他的认罪。”他说什么？我所说的灾祸，当他还活着的时候，就不要降在他身上。那你有没有发现很有趣的一点就是什么呢？对我来讲哈，对我来讲，我看到那段圣经的时候，我没有办法了解，上帝啊，这个人那么邪恶，他一点点的悔改，你就赦免他。我是不是讲太长了，大家想走啊？哦、OK， 还是讲太长了。啊 ？OK， 好，啊，没有关系。但是我在这里要告诉我们诸位哈，告诉我们诸位，你知道，神说，因为他一点点的悔改，我就回报他，让他知道悔改。但是可惜的一点，可惜的，我要告诉我们诸位哈，我告诉我们诸位，最可惜的一点，如果当时亚哈王他能够站起来，不是为他自己悔改而已，他真的在神的面前痛改前非，为他的太太做赦罪的工作，为了他的儿女继续做忏悔的工作，你想神会不会赦免？一定会。可惜这个人呢，他悔改一个礼拜， 他看到神没有惩罚他，没有叫他马上死，他怎么样？回去老路了。后来他死得非常惨，弟兄姊妹，他后来死得非常非常的惨。你知道他怎么死的吗？他突然间有一天想到说，诶，有一个城啊，被国家，诶，被隔壁的国家占据了，我们要把它抢回来。他抢回来之前呢，他还邀请南犹大国的国王说，你跟我一起去打好不好？他说好。结果呢，那个南犹大国的国王说，我们还是求问耶和华神吧，祷告一下看看神要不要我们去打。结果叫了一个先知来，我大概有400个先知说，哇，国王，我们祷告又屌了，又我们发现了什么可以打，我们会得打胜战。结果呢，那个南犹大国的国王说，好像不行，400个人都讲同样的话，这个有点怪怪的啊，难道没有其他的先知吗？呀，我说有了，有一个叫做米盖亚，那个家伙我很讨厌他，因为他出来总是讲坏话。然后他说没关系，请他来讲讲看嘛。那个米盖亚一来，他说我祷告了，耶和华神说，谁可以去欺骗这个该死的亚哈呢？有一个神的灵说，我去骗他好不好？因为他是行诈骗的人，所以用骗家骗他。这样耶和华神说可以哦，你去试看看。先知说，我在灵界里面你看到这件事情，你必死无疑。哇，亚哈王气得不得了，说我刚刚去打仗你就给我咒诅啊，把他抓起来关起来，等到我回来之后再惩治他。那个先知说什么呢？米盖亚说，如果你还能够回来，就表示我是假先知了。而且呢，他知道他心里亚哈王知道有问题哦，你知道他怎么办？他说，我们出去打仗，我不要穿王的朝服，我穿普通军人的衣服就好。结果呢，大家误认那个南犹大国王室他是主帅。结果要跟追他的时候，那个南犹大国的主帅 的国王吓死了，说我不是，我是。然后大家，哎，这个不是，不知道主帅是谁。犹太人的以色列的军队知道以外，没有人知道。那当时说，有一个人，有一个军人呢，就是亚兰国的军人，随便拉弓，而那弓呢，也随便飞。而且就随便飞，就飞到哪里？飞到亚王的身上。而且亚哈王是穿着什么呢？穿着战袍的哦，那是都是铁片中的哈。而且又很准的，就刚好飞到当中有一个细缝哈，然后箭就咻刺进去了，都是刚刚好。那你知道什么事情发生？你知道什么事情发生？他重伤。他受重伤的时候又不能跑，为什么呢？两边在打仗，你主帅跑掉了，你就完了。然后他告诉他的那个拉马车的说：“不要走，别，撑住。”你知道吗？一直打仗，一直到什么时候？从早上一直打到什么时候？打到晚上，他忍着痛，箭刺在他身上，一直淌血。到傍晚的时候，他因为失血过多，就死在马上，死在战车上面。你知道吗？先知跟他想说，你杀掉拿伯那个好人，狗怎么样舔他的血，狗也要舔你的血，跟舔你太太的血。 结果就上按照先知所说的完全成就。我讲这个故事好像很长啊，但是其实我在这里盼望告诉我们弟兄姊妹的，就是说当神还有机会让你悔改的时候，不要不悔改。而且请你记得，神爱你的悔改，你悔改多少你的恩典就多少，你悔改更多，在主神面前完全的悔改，神就完全的赦免你。但是不要以为神不审判，不要以为神睁一眼闭一眼。所以我今天一个很重要的结论，就是刚才那个江牧师所说的哈，我今天在这里告诉我们诸位，请我们记得一件很重要的事情，基督徒非常珍惜神给我们所有的人恩典，但是那个恩典是必须借着悔改来得着的，而那个悔改并不是说我犯罪了后才悔改，那个悔改其实是什么呢？是让我们的心对准神，就好像开车的人，请问你很会开车对不对？你可以不可以说一句，像我这么会开车的人，我爱怎么开就怎么开，可以吗？那你就要去的地方你根本开不到，你一定要按照什么呢？按照那个路况，该左转就左转，该右转就右转。你知道那个路就是耶稣基督本身，而你在开车的人就按照那一条路，你该悔改就是对准神的时候，你整个生命的方向是正确，你就是一个蒙福的人。所以悔改的定义并不是犯罪认罪，而是什么呢？而是常常我用我自己跟神对焦，我有没有走在他的道路上面，那个叫做真正的悔改。所以我今天告诉我们，今天我做个最后的信息，让我们记得一件很重要的事情。我们今天早从上从礼拜五开始讲到今天，我们讲了好多好多，我们盼望我们生命能够成为一个蒙恩得神调整的人，那是最美的祝福。愿神祝福大家。我请那个江牧师来帮我做翻译。
Friends, I'm going to translate what Pastor Chang's message is. It's a little bit long, but I'll try to shorten it or not. We'll see how it goes. And so Pastor Chang's title for his message is The Spirit Allows Us to Become the Children of God. And Pastor Chang has been teaching in the works of the Spirit for a while, and he's been kind of going through the message on how the Spirit reveals sin in our lives. And he was reading at that through John chapter 14. And how that we are only able to change because of the conviction of the Spirit within us. But today he wants to share a little bit about the Spirit reminds us of who we belong to. We belong to God. And in the passage we read in Romans, it talks about the idea is because of the Spirit we are children of God and we receive this sonship, right? We're children of God, sonship. I use sonship a lot for me personally because sonship is so important, because in that culture, sonship is firstborn son status. It means you have the rights to the most, right? But we have the privilege to call the Heavenly Father, the ultimate being, Father. That's a great privilege that I think a lot of times we take lightly. And so Pastor Chang asked our congregation recently, just then, are all people on earth children of God? And some of you guys were like, yes. Right? But the answer, friends, unfortunately, is no. And it's not because what Pastor Chang's theology is. It's what the Word of God said. And we read through John chapter 1, verse 11 to 13. And because the fact is that we gave up the right to be privileged, yet it's only through Jesus that we are able to return. And so if we don't believe, then we do still have relationship with God, but our relationship with God is not the privileged relationship of sonship, but it becomes this relationship of Him being the creator and we the created one. But the problem is, if we are in that relationship, it's kind of as if someone created you, if someone's designing you, at any moment He can choose to throw you away. Because you were just created, you're just an object, you can get thrown away. But if you realize and recognize that the Creator, Heavenly Father, didn't want that relationship with you, He wants something deeper. And He came and He brought His Son on earth to die, to tell you that you are special. And Jesus' death on the cross, then that message is to say, come back, I died for you. Come back and become my children. Be my privileged children of God. But too many of us, we rather hear this narrative of the enemy telling us that we have no relationship with God. It doesn't matter where we go. But friends, don't listen to that narrative. As we still are living and breathing, come back as you live. And the second point Pastor Chang was trying to share with us is God gave us grace on this earth. He gave us deep grace. And to become children of God with relationship with Him, don't delay. Because if we delay and we come to the point of our end without really, truly receiving this relationship with God of sonship status, we will regret for eternity. And we shared a story in our pastoral team in our church. A few months ago, we had to conduct a funeral. And this brother, he passed away through suicide. And it wasn't a very comfortable funeral service. And Pastor Chang was sharing, as Pastor Tiffany came up to look at the crowd, as she sat down, she was feeling a little bit weird. And so she was asking Pastor Chang, because she was confused, she was overwhelmed. And Pastor Chang shared that there were three feelings in the room. And these emotions weren't from the people that were gathering at this wake. It was something in the spirit. And the three things that he pointed out was, the first one was deep sadness. Second one was this huge regret. And thirdly was this lostness, because they don't know where to go in. And it felt like the sense of the spirit of this brother was saying, if only when I was still alive. Eternal regret. Lord, help us with that. And thirdly, Pastor Chang shared, is that when we become children of God, we sometimes end up taking it a little too lightly. We leave the relationship as, oh, we're children, that's cool, you know, I'm saved, woo, that's it. We put it on the shelf until we need it. And that what happens a lot of times is it chokes our relationship, it chokes our faith. And in these retreats, it's a reminder that so easily, so quickly, our faith can easily be shaken. Very quickly that we can go back home and we return to the same old patterns. It's a reminder when we come to these retreats that we have to go back to Christ, come back to God, as the Canadians will say, again and again, right? And always remind ourselves of our relationship with God. There's a blessing upon us, and God wants His blessing for us because we are privileged, because we are His children. And so there is a pipeline network that He's giving us privileges, but the problem is we create blockages for the blessings to flow. When that happens, friends, God gave us this great gift where we can repent. Friends, no one is righteous, not even one, as Scripture says. God is always beckoning us by the Spirit to return, to come back. We don't simply just repent, so you guys know. We don't just say, I'm sorry to God. God hears every prayer. God hears every repentance, and He takes it to heart. And Pastor Chang shared two stories in the Old Testament. He shares about David's sin. We all know David's sin. We all know it well. It's sung about. We sing, "Create in me a clean heart," all the time. And it's a story of how he committed adultery in the worst case ever. When his faithful servant was fighting a war while he was taking a rest, he caught his eye on his wife, Uriah's wife, and he had a relationship with her. And it caused a huge spew where he was trying to cover it up. unconsciously, as a man of God, for some reason in that moment, he was blinded by his weakness to recognize that, would God not see what he has done? But he was so blinded that it took a prophet to come and change his mind. And the prophet Nathan came to David one day and said, let me tell you a story, David. And he shared a story about a poor man and a rich man, and how the rich man had a flock of lambs, and he was trying to prepare a party. And instead of taking one of his own, he decided to steal from his neighbor. And it boiled David's heart in that moment. He was pounding tables, paraphrasing, and he was like, if that man, who is that man? Who is he? If he was here, I am going to crush him, destroy him, blah, 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 etc. And in the midst of that, Nathan, the prophet, said, you are that man. Pastor Chang said, in China, in ancient Chinese dynasties, if someone said that to the king. But instead of that, David repented. He fell on his knees, and he fell in lament. And he sang the psalm that we all know well, and we will explore it eventually. But although he repented, of course, the consequences of his sins is him to bear. But we have to know that in that story, if David did not repent, he would have died. He would have been banished from this love of God. And so another story that's shared in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 21 and 22. We don't have time to read it, so if you know it, if you hear it, you will know it. It's a story of Ahab. Everybody knows Ahab. Everybody don't know Ahab, but knows his wife, because we don't name our kids after that name, right, because of that. But we all know Ahab and Queen Jezebel, they were the worst power couple in the Old Testament. They were the most evil couple. And the story in 21 was this story about a man, his name is Naboth. And he had a vineyard next to the king's house. And when Naboth saw it, he saw it, he wanted it, and he had the money to get it. But as he was going there to tell Naboth, like, I'll give you everything. I'll give you land. I'll give you nicer land. I'll give you money if you don't want land. But Naboth, because of the covenant promise of God to his family, land is sacred. This was the promise. This was a promise that they would return back to this promised land. And the land was so important. You cannot give away this land. This is why it was so destructive right now when the people of the Jewish community was banished from Israel. And the land was sacred. And so Naboth says, no, I cannot. And Ahab, because of the no, he came home like a little child. Didn't eat. Just like you guys, right? Frustrated all the time. And when his wife saw that, she said, you child, you idiot child, it's so easy, I'll handle it. And so she took care of it. She made a whole slandering and got Naboth killed. And then she came back and said, you idiot, look how easy it was. And so when Ahab was in this vineyard like celebrating, he bumped into the only man that he would never want to meet. His name was Elijah. And Elijah says, you stole this land. You and your wife, you're going to die a terrible death. Pretty bad, pretty ugly. And especially, it's going to be very gruesome. And the narrative says that dogs will lap your blood. If you guys don't know, because you haven't come to Thursday Bible study, dogs means, yeah, it's the most embarrassing thing that can happen to you. It's like raccoons opening up your casket when you're dead, right? And Ahab, somehow this evil king decided to repent in that moment. He asked for forgiveness. And God spoke to Elijah and told him, look at Ahab's humility. Even an evil, evil king was able to turn. And so the punishment that Ahab was supposed to receive would not happen in his lifetime. Right? The small amount of repentance, but Ahab said, oh, I'm sorry. You know, he was in lament for a week. And God took it to heart. God honored that. But the most unfortunate thing for Ahab was that he didn't press in on his repentance. He repented for himself. But friends, I want to ask you a question and suggest. What if in that moment he decided to repent for his wife? Repent for his family? Would God honor it? Would God do something in that plea, in that lament? Probably. But instead, he left it at that. God would have moved. But of course, like all of us, we seek comfort. So when God received forgiveness, Ahab, of course, went back to his old ways, right? And do you know that his death was even more terrible? It was painful. It was pretty, pretty brutal. And the story goes like this in 22, right? His death was—he was at war, and he was trying to reclaim this land of, and he decided to do an alliance with southern Judah with Jehoshaphat, right? And as they were going, they decided, wait, hold on—is this what God really wants? So they gathered 400 prophets, and all prophets were like, yeah, that's good. Go after it. You'll win, right? And the king of Judah was like, this doesn't sound right. If everybody agrees, something is wrong. It's like when time says yes, everybody says yes. You know, something is wrong, right? And so they said, is there another prophet in the land? Oh, of course there is. It's that dude, Micaiah. And this dude never says any good things. And exactly what Ahab believed, because he said, nope. And of course he got mad. He locked him up and he says, I'm going to deal with you when I come back after winning the war. And the prophet said, if you come back, then there is no God. But if God is real, then you won't come back. And that's what happened. He died. He died. He died, but a terrible death, because he was shot by an arrow. And if you know, if the king retreats, the war is over. And so he stood and fought in a chariot, running around, basically bleeding slowly, painfully, until evening, where he died. And you can see the prophecy fulfilled, isn't it? And what we're trying to share in all of this is, as you hear, living and breathing, when you have a chance to repent, repent. And remember this principle as from these stories. The amount of repentance that you're offering to God as you're giving it to God is the amount of grace you receive. Friends, we all want more grace from God, and it's going to require us to go deeper in our repentance. It's not just, I'm sorry. We have to go further than just saying sorry when we are caught. We have to press in. And Christians, we have to live by this grace. And how we live by this grace, we have to be convicted by the Spirit and follow Jesus. And so Pastor Chan gave the analogy, there's a lot of good drivers here, right? All the young adults for the boys, right, all have a driver's license. And we can all say we're great drivers, except for Alan, because he skis heats, right? As drivers, we can't say, I could go wherever I want. It doesn't matter if you have a G-Wagon or a Land Rover, right? You'll eventually crash into something. All drivers have to follow the road. And as Jesus says, he is the way. And we have to turn into his way. We have to adjust. Repentance is not just, I'm sorry. Repentance is the action of turning. And we, in all circumstances, always have to turn towards Jesus. Chase after God. And our prayer and hope is throughout this whole retreat time was that you will really be transformed people living under the grace of God, full of repentance, full of grace. So may the Lord help us.
Amen. Wow, 江牧师越来越棒. Very good. 其实我刚才 要讲的一件事情就是，我们每一次到灵修会的时候，大家高兴得不得了啊，圣灵充满了，我们得到很多。但是回去过几天都一样了。我们多少次是像这个样子？请我们记得 repent， 就是在神的面前的悔改，不是一时的。他刚才翻译得非常好，就说，不是在上帝的面前 sorry， 然后就走了你的老路。Translate.
So Pastor Chang sharing, he forgot to share one important thing that we've been constantly talking about every end of retreat. Because we come to retreat and we all get filled with the presence of God, we all get happy, excited. But when we go home, it lasts for a day, maybe two, maybe three, and we go back to the same exactly the same as we were before we came. And it's, for some of us, it's been constant. It's been happening over and over again. Hence, this is why we always have to remind ourselves, fix our eyes on God. Repentance is not a one-time action. It's a continual action.
Amen. Amen. 我们起来祷告。
Let's pray.
主啊，怜悯我们的罪性。 因此我们需要在你面前悔改。悔改的意思并不是在神的面前说对不起，而是愿意改变我们的思想，改变我们的方向，对准耶稣这一条路往前走。主啊，帮助我们，求圣灵成为我们最好的老师，引导我们。谢谢主，奉耶稣基督的圣名，阿们。
So gracious Lord, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do. And Lord, so we want to be followers of you, Lord, no longer like the ones in the past. Lord, as we repent, may we actually turn towards you. May we follow you and be guided by you in all ways and all times, Lord. And so may our lives be changed and may the way of our forward future, Lord, be transformed by you. So we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. 我们最后请我们站起来唱一首诗歌，唱那个圣灵我们需要你。 Sorry, we don't have this one in English, so only Chinese. But would you please follow?
Yes, so let's rise and sing.
He says, I'm thirsty, dear Holy Spirit. 像这首诗所说的，我们非常的需要你，我们除了你我们别无拯救，因为你曾经来到这个世界为我们死在十字架上，世界上没有一个君王，世界上没有一个神灵说我为你死过，因为只有真神从天上来到这个世界为我们成就了救恩，除了他以外别无拯救，也除了他以外我们不能够回到阿爸父神这位创造整个宇宙的神的里面成为他的孩子。所以在这里奉耶稣基督圣名求你赐福我们每一位弟兄姊妹，让我们的心不再坚硬，让我们心在柔软里面，求你就感动我们每一位，求主带领我们回去的时候我们生命不再一样。谢谢你，奉耶稣基督圣名。
Amen. Gracious Lord, we thank you, Lord. And as we sang, may the words really ring true into us, Lord. We need you. Lord, without you, Lord, there is nothing that's possible. And Lord, so we know also, Lord, without you, there is no privilege to be the sons of God, the children of God, beloved. And so, Lord, I pray that, Lord, in the midst of all of this, Lord, may we bring this reminder of your great love, Lord. May we deepen our love deeper. In Jesus' name, we ask that we would be reminded, Lord, of your love for us, Lord. And so may we embrace this privilege that we are children of God, Lord. And so with that mindset, may we turn in those moments and, Lord, turn in all seasons towards you so that, Lord, our life will be changed. So we ask, Lord, we would be transformed people of God, following Jesus with truth and with love. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated.